First Thessalonians chapter 2, starting from verse 1.
For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel with much content.
Here St. Paul is saying to the Thessalonian church, when St. Paul came to this church, or established the church, he was in very bad condition. He's saying here, when he came there, he was in Philippine jail. He was beaten. He was bleeding. He was tired. He was weary. But in those days, they didn't have the comfort like we have, rush to the hospital, ambulance will come and take you there. But when they came to this place, he said, brethren, when I came, we did not come to you in vain. Why he's saying that? Because these people received the gospel of Jesus Christ willingly, received the word of God gladly, and they were very happy that St. Paul came to them. He said, we came to you with a boldness in our heart. And he says, the gospel of Jesus Christ came to you not in vain. There are people in the world, they do not care about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the gospel of Jesus Christ gives you victory and life in each and everything. People are dying without God and without Christ. But once you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a life, there is a liberty, there is a freedom in the word of God. And wherever the word of God is preached, there is power and God's presence is there. So here we're seeing that St. Paul is saying, we came to you and you did not see how ugly and how bad our dress code was and how we badly looked. And you got the word and you took it in. And that's what he's saying, we did not come to you in vain. Verse 3.
For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts.
So what he's trying to say, when I came to you, I did not come to you just like somebody sent me there. God trusted in us. God has called us. That's why we were there. There are people studying the Word of God in the Bible seminary or Bible colleges, and they are not even thinking why they are there. Because this person has to be dedicated. This person has to be born again. This person has to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This person has to have calling from the Lord. You cannot force somebody to do the Lord's work. If you go to the dead Bible school, you will learn the dead things. So here the St. Paul is saying, God has trusted us. He checked our hearts before we came to the Lord. And God has chosen us, and God is pleasing us, and that's why we are doing this Lord's work. He says, we did not come here with an unclean desire or guile in our spirit, or unholy thing. There are people are doing the Lord's work and they are not even transformed. Their life is not changed. They are living a filthy life and the people are listening to them, but they are not telling them, pastor, why are you doing this kind of things? I went to one church, the pastor invited me, I went there and sat in his office and few minutes and he said, Pastor Peter, could you excuse me? I like to smoke. Now, pastor sitting in his office before he's going to preach, he said, I like to smoke. I thought he's kidding. I said, you cannot smoke here. So he stayed a few minutes. He said, Pastor Peter, I have to smoke. Without smoking, I cannot preach. And I was thinking, why did I come in the first place? I wanted to get out of that place right away, but the Spirit of God told me to wait. And so this man went, he smoked, and then he took the spray, washed his clean his face. What was his sermon? There is nothing impossible with God. Now that's what the sermon he was preaching. I sat there. After that, he gives the altar call. If there is anyone has a problem, come here. God has answer for you. And people came. I went to his office again. I said, sir, is that message for you or that message for the audience? I said, when you show your finger like this, three fingers are showing at you. Before you preach the sermon to somebody, check it out. Is that sermon for you? Finally, he admitted. He said, I need help. Amen. I prayed for him and I left from there. I never went back there. Point I'm making, the St. Paul is saying, we came here to you to exhort you, to encourage you, to tell you about God. But we did not have any hidden agenda when I came to you. We wanted to tell you about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ put this gospel in our heart. And we came there not to please anybody, but please God. When you are called by God, you are not looking for handout. You are not looking for, if I go to that church, how much offering they are going to give it to me. One pastor called me, he said, what is your wages? How much you charge to preach? I said, freely given, freely give. I do not charge anything. We are not serving the money. We are serving the living God. So he says, I came there with a God's calling and God checked my heart. God is watching over me. There is nothing hidden in my life. So I am preaching the glorious gospel. And verse 5, he says, God is my witness. Please read.
For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness.
Now what he's trying to say, when we came there, we did not have anything in our mind that how can we entice you and get your money or try to gain something from you. Other day I went to one convention and the lady stood there and she gave $15,000 to the minister. He took that $15,000 and came to the stage. He said, this lady gave $15,000 for the ministry. What was she doing? She is doing like alcohol or some kind of business. So I thought if you try to tell people, promote her job, that will be great disaster to the community. So the what people doing, they take the money and they don't tell the people the truth. They shut their mouth because the money makes you slave. When you take somebody's money, if you take the bribe, you cannot say anything bad about that person. That's what happens. So St. Paul said, we didn't come here to take anything. We didn't have any agenda to take some money from you. So we did not use the flattering words because people like to hear soothsaying. That's why people go to the palm readers. Palm reader will not tell you anything bad. Palm reader tells you everything good which pleases you. So you can give him more money or give her more money. They can come next Sunday again. So they want more money from you. St. Paul says, I did not come to please you. I did not come with a flattering words. Why? Because he wants to please God. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, please read. He says, if I'm pleasing man, I cannot call myself a servant of God.
Or do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
If God has called you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are not going to please people, you're going to please God. Amen. If you start pleasing people, you cannot serve the Lord. So God has called us to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now just think that you're preaching the gospel and somebody, you know that he is living in sin or, and that person gives you $100. You were going to say something and you swallowed what you want to say. God is not going to be pleased. We are not here to please people. We are here to please God. If you start pleasing people, St. Paul says, then I cannot be servant of Christ. So here he says, I did not come here to please you. I did not come here to giving you flattering words. God is my witness. That means it's God is watching over you, whatever you're doing. You cannot hide anything from God. Book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, he says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
See, here he's saying you cannot hide anything from the eyes of God. Not a single person is hidden from his eyes. Some people say, oh, I'm doing in the closet. Nobody can see. God can see through the wall. You cannot cheat God. You cannot deceive God. God knows everything about you. You can cheat the pastor, you can cheat your wife, you can cheat your husband, you can cheat your master, you can cheat your boss. You cannot cheat God. God says, I'm watching over you. There is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. Our God doesn't sleep, and what? He doesn't slumber. So he's watching over you. Doesn't matter you know it or not. He said, I'm watching. So he says, when I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, God is my witness. Okay, let's go back to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6.
Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ.
Now he's saying, we did not think that we want some respect from you, or we want something from you, like he says, like as the apostles. Now you can see, people in the foreign country, here they don't have any respect for the ministers. But in foreign country, especially you go to India, if the pastor comes to their house and says, I'm coming, they will be thinking somebody, president, is coming. They will be clean their house and wait for the pastor. They may have so many items for him to eat. But when I was there, I would not go to anybody's house their dinner time. I would not go to somebody's house in their paycheck day. I would not go to anybody's house without invitation. And so even though if I go, I will go with the fasting. So they cannot force me to eat anything. So what I was trying to say, the St. Paul is saying, some people come to your house with some kind of desire. He says, we didn't come like that, like other apostles. So if the pastor, they give this much respect, just think the bishop comes. Then bishop cannot go to somebody's house. Bishop comes to that special town or special church. And all these people will come to see the bishop. You saw a few days ago, Pope came. How many people were going and sitting there hours and hours and days to see or shake hand with him. So he said, we didn't come here like that. We don't want that kind of glory. We came here to preach the gospel. That's what's important. Sometimes people may not like to hear. I went to one town and gave the gospel. The man said, I don't want you to come to this town. Don't tell me about salvation. Don't tell me about water baptism. Don't tell me about Holy Spirit. Get out of my town. According to the word of God, what you do? Shake the dust off your feet and walk away. When you shake the dust and walk away, what happens? That means that person, that town will have the judgment. So I didn't want those people to be judged. So what I did, I said, Lord, give me grace. I want to give these people second chance. But in that house, this is a long story, but I'm cutting it short. But that house, God did so many miracles. The cancer was healed. The disease were healed. People got saved, baptized. So what I'm trying to say, God has called you to preach the gospel. You are looking for the opportunity. And you are not there to get something from them, but give something what God has given to you. So that's what St. Paul is saying. I did not come here to get something from you. Verse 7.
But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us.
So what he's trying to say? But we were gentle among you, even as the nurse cherisheth her children. How he was with them? Just like a nurse. Nurse means what? The mother has a little baby. How that mother is concerned about that baby. Baby doesn't say anything. Baby only hungry, she cries. But the good mother doesn't allow baby to cry. She pays attention to baby. Some of the mother let the baby cry, and even though some babies cry and die in their crib or playpen, and the mother, they don't even care. He says, we were not like that. We were gentle among you. How gentle? Like we were taking care of you like a little baby. So what did they do? When we came here to give you the gospel of Jesus Christ, we treated you like a little baby, little children, and we gave the gospel. Not only that, we gave our own life to you. We didn't take anything from you, but we gave the gospel and we allowed ourselves, gave our life for the sake of Christ. Verse 9.
For ye remember, brethren, our and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God.
So here again he's saying, remember, brethren, when we came there, we labored among you, how? Day and night. And not desiring or not charging anything, but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ freely. That's why I'm trying to tell people, don't charge anyone anything when you preach the gospel. Gospel is free. Jesus Christ said, freely you receive, freely you give. That's why I'm not charging anybody anything. Since 1956 until today, I did not take a salary and I'm not planning to take one. Why? Because I believe Jesus Christ gave the last drop of blood for me. I cannot do anything for him. One man came to me and he said, you know, nobody has the answer for me. And could you answer my questions? I said, sir, I sit down here and I'll talk to you. Evening 6 o'clock until morning 5 o'clock. I talked with him. Finally, he started crying like a baby. I said, why are you crying? He said, my dad didn't have time with me. Nobody had time. The professor didn't have time. How come you spend whole night? I said, sir, Jesus Christ shed the last drop of blood for me. Today that man is a pastor serving the Lord. The Saint Paul is saying, we came here to preach the gospel to you and not having any desire to get anything from you. I'm telling other ministers, when I ordain them, I tell them, sir, I'm not going to give you salary. No payment. I will start a work for you. And once you start the work, you live by faith. If I'm not paid servant, you should not be paid servant. And that's the kind of job when you start doing it, then you will be doing freely and God will be pleased. Otherwise, what's going to happen? When you go and get a job, they give you $20,000 salary. Next year you want $25,000. 35 and 45, and then you try to apply somewhere where you can get more money and you leave the church. There was a Pentecostal pastor worked 9 years for one church, and then he gave up that church. And when I was preaching the gospel in one of the cities in India, he heard about me. He came to my church. I was not there. He left his card and said, I want to see Pastor Peter one day. So 120 miles from my place. I took a bus. I went there. I was tired. I was weary. I went there in the evening. The table was set. Some guests coming. And this pastor, I asked him a question. I said, sir, are you born again? He said, yes, I am. You believe in water baptism? Yes, I do. Do you speak in tongue? Yes, I do. I said, sir, what are you doing here? He said, oh, Pentecostal church was paying me less. So I got this job. I have 5 servants. I have big bungalow. I have 2 cars. And my children going in a English school. Pentecostal people don't do that. I said, sir, did you read in the Bible that young lion will go hungry, but whoever serves the Lord, their children will not beg for bread? I said, why are you worried about money? The word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. He said, brother, you are not married yet. When you get married, more responsibility, and you have to have lots of money. I said, sir, I'm not married yet, but if I get married and if I have children, I'll do the same. I will be not working for money. I'll be working for God. That man did not tell me, would you like to stay for dinner? He did not offer me a glass of water. I prayed like a child, cried and prayed with the tears. And what I prayed, I said, Lord, let this man know that what he is doing is wrong. He is going after money. Much is given, much is required. He is born again, spirit-filled man of God. And I said, Lord, bless him and speak to him. And I finished my prayer and I said, sir, God sent me here. This is the message for you. Amen. Hundreds and thousands of people under you, but you are not able to tell them the truth. And I left. Somebody called me. Said, Pastor Peter, that pastor resigned, went to Ireland, started a church with 25 people. And now he has a beautiful Pentecostal church. What I'm trying to say, it needs the courage to tell somebody, do right thing. But if I was taking the money, if I'm serving the money, I would not have that much courage to tell that man. So the word of God says, we came to you preaching the gospel without any gain. Okay, let's read verse 10.
Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe.
Now here he's saying, you are my witnesses. That means you are tell others what kind of ministry we did in the midst of you. What kind of life we lived in you. We lived holy, just, unblameable life and behave among you as a very good Christians. How many people can say that? There is one pastor I saw. His church having party in his basement, church basement. He goes there, people are drinking, joking and doing everything. He didn't say anything, just walked away. Why? If he says something, those people are going to be offended. They may not come to church, they may not give him tithe, so he just shut his mouth and he walked away. So he's saying, you know, you are my witness. When we came to you, we didn't come drinking. We didn't come smoking. We didn't come living unholy, unclean life. Our life was completely like a mirror. You could see us. There was nothing hidden agenda. We lived clean and holy life among you. And before that he said, God is our witness. Now God is your witness and the people are your witness. There's nothing to hide. The people are watching you. God is watching you, so you have to say that I am going to be a living witness. I'm not going to hide anything. I'm going to live for Christ. And then God can use you. Okay, verse 11.
As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children.
Okay, a few minutes ago, he said, we took care of you like a taking care of a newborn baby, feeding you, taking care of you. And we were so gentle among you. Now he says, we came to exhort you and comfort you. So how we came? We took care of you like a father take care of his children. He's not talking about a bad father. There are bad fathers and there are good fathers. Good fathers take care of their children. Bad fathers, they will smoke, and the little boy goes with him, and he will sit with him, and the little boy will take a stick or something and put in his mouth, and father laughed. He doesn't know today he has a small pencil in his mouth, tomorrow he's going to smoke. You should not be smoking in front of your children, because they are going to do the same thing what you do. So he's saying, when we came there and we were there like a father, he's giving the example like an old 2,000 years ago's fathers, not today's father. Today's father take marijuana or drink. And even the other day, I don't know you people saw it, there was a family and the boy was 2 years old giving marijuana. And that boy was smoking marijuana, 2 years old, on TV. They saw. Maybe they arrested those people and took the child away. It's happening in America, happening around the world. The fathers, they don't have that kind of pure life to teach their children. That's why the children, they are not in the church, they are not in the Lord, and they are away from God. Why? Because the mother and father gave the bad example to children. St. Paul is saying, we came to you like a nursing mother. We came to you like a father, taking care of the children. It's a great responsibility to taking care of your children and bringing them to the full knowledge of God. I tell the people, you know, when your children are small, take them to Sunday school. If they cry, doesn't matter. If they cry in here and they don't go to Sunday school, I will not say, take that child away. Let the child cry and grow in the church. That child will be a good minister someday. Because we want children learning the Word of God. Some parents, what they do, let the children sleep, then we pray, because they make noise. Your children will never learn how to pray. Sit with them, even though they cry. Doesn't matter. Pray with them and teach them the Word of God. They will be good children. They say, oh, my children have a lot of homework, so let them stay home and I go to church. They will not doing the homework. They were watching the TV or they will talk to somebody, friends and things like that. Take them with you and let them study the Word of God. 1 hour they wasted in the Bible school or prayer meeting is not going to be wasted. It will be a blessing. So don't keep your children home and go to church. Okay, verse 12.
That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
He's saying, when you received us very gladly and received the word of God. That word of God is working in you. You can see if somebody heard the word and put it in a practice. And there are people, they hear this way and goes this way. And they go to church, they dance around a couple of hours. I'm talking about when you go for a convention or something. 2 hours dancing and clapping hands, and finally they get so tired when the word of God is preached, they are already sleeping. And they don't know what the word of God was preached. Oh, we had a wonderful time. What are you doing? Just clapping and dancing. When somebody called me to church and he said, bring your slides and what you do in India and I want to see it. And so I took my all these projector and everything and I sat there and showing things, and after that I preached and this man is sleeping. The pastor is sleeping. And when he woke up, oh, praise the Lord, that was a good message and everything is fine. I said, this man is a liar. Because he was just sleeping, not even listening. And I got doubt on this pastor. And then one of mother called me and said, Pastor Peter, do you know this man has a girl, 8 years girl, and not even married? And his wife is already there and he never divorced? I said, you people never told him this? He cannot listen to us. I said, okay, I'm going to talk to him. I called the man and said, sir, The lady was playing the piano and that girl was with her. Who is that girl? Oh, that is all under the blood. You know, we are going to get married soon. I said, that child is 8 years old. And I heard that you are a married man and you did not even divorce your wife and you're doing this and you said everything is under the blood. Doesn't work that way. Repentance means what? Turn around. Amen. Turn to God. So what should I do? I said, tell that lady, I'm sorry, ma'am. I made a mistake. I'm going to support the child, but you are free to go and marry anybody else. And tell your wife, I made a mistake. Please forgive me, and I'll come back. If you do that, God will bless you. Otherwise, the wrath of God is coming upon you, and there will be no remedy. He said, oh, everything is under the blood, and that's okay. I said, sir, I'm not coming back to your church. Pretty soon, the lady called me. Say, Pastor Peter, pastor is dead. Young man. So what I'm trying to say, you hear this way and goes that way and you don't want to change. St. Paul says, we came to you and you received the word and you changed. Your life changed. People go to church year after year after year after year and nothing changed in their life. The word of God says, more is given, more is required. Much is given, much is required. So once you know the truth, truth should set you free. You cannot live in a bondage and you go to church and say, nothing happened to me. Here this says, when we came, you heard the word, you are transformed and work is happening. That's what we first chapter we learned. He says, your work of faith and labor of love. That's what they learn. How they learn? They saw Paul working, laboring with faith and love. Same thing they start doing. So the Paul saying, I came to you, it's not in vain. You heard it, you receive it, and you apply it in your life, and you are doing it. Verse 14.
For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews.
Now he's saying, the churches in Judea, he's talking about the churches in Jerusalem. And those people, when they started a church, it was not easy. Because all the Jewish people were suppressing them and harassing them. And they do not want any Jewish person to come into Christ. So they start harassing. And when Paul was harassing the church, when Paul got saved, the same people start harassing Paul. Wherever he went, in a synagogue, they were after him. Then he said, I'm going to shake my clothes. I am going to Gentiles. And he says, God has called me to go to Gentiles. He says, same thing in your country is happening. When you are receiving Jesus Christ and following the Christ, the Jewish people, the Gentiles, harassing you and giving you hard time. It is not easy to do the Lord's work in foreign country. In America, same thing. I learned when you doing the Lord's work, the trials and tribulation will come. If God has called you to preach the gospel, doesn't matter if you have enemies or bad neighborhood or good neighborhood, God will use you wherever you go. So St. Paul is saying, you know, we came here to preach the gospel. And that's why they are not afraid of anything or anybody. They want to do the works. So he says, the you people know how the Jewish people or heathen people attacking you and giving you problems, but you are holding on to the Lord. Don't run away when somebody gives you a hard time. One lady called me, said, Pastor Peter, in my neighborhood, there are people, drug dealers, and they're giving me a hard time. I called the police. Police cannot do anything. I said, did you call upon Jesus? I said, let's pray. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Two of us agree touching anything, he will hear our prayer. I prayed. Following week, she calls Pastor Peter. Guess what? Those people packed their things, ran away. My neighborhood, no drugs. How did it happen? we have to take a stand and call upon Jesus. So he said, I'm so glad you got the experience like we faced in Jerusalem, and you know how to take care of these problems. Verse 15.
Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost.
My countrymen, who are those countrymen? The Jewish people. They killed the prophets, they killed the ministers, they persecuted everyone, and we have all these problems from this, my Jewish people. But he says, they are telling us, they don't want Jewish people to come to the Lord. They don't want Gentiles to come to the Lord. So they are saying, don't work for Gentiles, don't work for Jews. What should we do? So he said, we kept working for the Lord. And so he said, the day will come, the wrath of God will come upon them. But I'm not going to fight with them. I'm keep on doing the Lord's work. When you have a problem, call upon God. God will take care of anyone. Man cannot take care of anything. The word of God said, do not trust in any man. Do not trust in any king. Trust in the Lord. So he is saying, I'm trusting in God and I'm doing the Lord's work. But whoever doing something wrong, God will take care of them. Verse 17.
But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us.
Now here he's saying, they started to work, work is growing, people are strong in the Lord, and now Paul is away from them. He said, we wanted to come and meet you again. I want to encourage you more. But what happened? Satan hindered us. Sometimes some people said, you know, when you're doing the Lord's work, devil has no power over you. But sometimes the devil comes to hinder your ministry. It's always against the God's word. We heard last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, what we read. He says, the God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of unbelievers. Why? Because he doesn't want them to see the glory of God, the image of God, the power of God, and who Christ is. So who is doing this? The devil is. Devil doesn't want us to do anything for the Lord. So are we going to say, okay, devil, I surrender you? No. He says, Satan resisted. Satan didn't allow us to come, but we are going to come. God wants us to do the Lord's work, but the Satan hindered. But Paul says, I will be there. Okay, let's finish. Verse 19.
For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ?
What he's trying to say, what is our crown and joy? The believers. So you get the five different crowns. And I did the study about the five crowns and I made the CDs. If you want it, just ask for it. Say, Pastor Peter, I want to know about the crowns. So what he's trying to say, you are the crown of my rejoicing, means this is the crown. When you're winning the souls for Christ, you will be having a crown, the soul winner's crown. Is waiting for me because you are my crown, you are my joy. When Jesus Christ comes, I will get my crown. So he says, you are my glory and you are my joy. Who is saying this? Saint Paul. He says, the believers, they are my crowns. The believers, they are my glory. The believers, they are my joy. Not how much money they give, how much they are serving the Lord. The word of God says, when I see my children obeying the word, the joy I get from that, nowhere I can get that kind of joy. If your children are obedient, you are happy. So we want to make the ministers happy because he said, you are my joy, you are my crown, you are my glory. So pastor should be proud of his church members. I'm so glad that God has called me with a definite high calling. You call me anytime. I told you some people calling me midnight. What I'm trying to say, you are my joy, you are my crown, you are my glory. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Supply all their needs according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.